Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Friday morning. It is the 21st of February. It is a Friday of a somewhat shortened week if you had Monday off. If not, well, it was a whole week. And you made it through it. Congratulations. Welcome. We have a lot to talk about. We'll get right to it. Let me first introduce our wonderful panel to you. A programming reminder that Governor Cuomo will be joining us at 10:30 this morning for his conversation with Alan Chartok. That'll happen at 10:30. And we will have a good chunk of time to talk about and go through the issues of today from now until then. So we get started. We welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. Senior fellow and visiting professor at Bennington College, founder of Beyond Plastics, former EPA regional administrator Judith Enck is in the house. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Very nice to have you here. Also, we welcome Siena College economics professor Aaron Pasitti. Good morning.
Good morning.
Rosemary Armeo is here, investigative journalist to the stars. How are you?
Hello.
Very nice to have you with us. We should note that David Soares, who would normally be with us, is running for re-election. And because of that, he cannot be on our program as well. So we wish him great luck, and he will be back the Friday after Election Day.
I hate that rule.
Which it's Friday, I think it's Friday, November 6th. So
mark your calendars.
Mark your calendars. David will be back. So,
and that's not the only election we'll be watching.
No, really.
Well, in fact, there'll be a lot of moving.
The reason I'm bringing it up now is because we really won't care about it in November. Yeah. So welcome him back, obviously. But we're very excited. Yes, we'll see what the world looks like then. Seems like a long time away, doesn't it?
I think I'll get a tattoo of David Soares' face on my back.
Your back.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah, very good. Lovely. Yeah, add it to your portfolio. Yeah. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
And to you, Joe. Good morning. It's always fun. We always have our pre-program conference, those of us who want to do some administration around here, and you and Ian and Stacy and
Jordan this morning.
Jordan is our chief fiscal officer, and we call him Jordo.
Yes, which he loves.
He doesn't loves not.
You wonder why your paycheck doesn't arrive on time.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's wonderful to have you here. Let us get to the story. We waited around a little bit yesterday on the program thinking that the Roger Stone sentencing was going to happen while we were on the air. It did not. It came down about 12:25 in the afternoon. The judge was quite verbose prior to that, and rightfully so. But what happened is that Roger Stone was sentenced to over 3 years in prison. It's 40 months for those of you who are using toddler analogies. He's not 3 years old. He's over 40 months.
Right. And he's the smartest boy I've ever seen.
How about 3 1/3 years?
Yes, 3 1/3 years, says The Economist. The sentencing played out amid extraordinary upheaval at the Justice Department and a virtual standoff between the president and the Attorney General of the United States. Roger Stone, of course, is a longtime friend and advisor of the president. He was sentenced yesterday in a politically fraught case that put the president at odds with Attorney General William Barr, stirred widespread consternation in the Justice Department, and provoked the judge in the case to denounce pressure on the justice system. And oh, just for fun, I'll add this point, it's not over yet. So there we go.
Now, you all do your homework, I know that, and you all prepare something that is not in my background. And maybe somebody could explain to me what the standoff between the Attorney General and the president is.
Well, the president has interfered wrongly in the view of most law enforcement officials who have ever served the United States,
right,
and has tried to get mercy, leniency for his good friend.
Yeah, we knew
who
that.
Has been duly convicted by a jury.
And then
this a trick question?
No, I just want to know whether since Barr put out that, you know, self-serving statement about stop tweeting, you know, and but continued on his, this is with quotes around it, evil ways, whether something new has happened since that time.
Well, Trump declared himself the chief What was it, the chief law
enforcement officer. And he went on a clemency spree, proving that he can let anybody he wants who's been convicted of public corruption or white-collar crimes out of jail.
That was just this week.
It was.
Clearly to set it up so that when he does Stone, you'll have some precedent there.
I think it's a little harder, though, with Stone. I mean, I think he will pardon Stone. He's certainly laid the foundation. He's attacked Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who I think handled this brilliantly.
She was so smart.
And a 3.5-year prison term is what Bill Barr essentially recommended.
Exactly. So now having given the Trump Barr people what they wanted, which was a shorter than recommended sentence, now what does he say?
Well, I think what he does is, it started yesterday, he attacks the jury forewoman. So he's attacked the judge. He's attacking the jury, which is really offensive to any of us who've carved out time from our personal lives to serve on juries. Not easy, thankless. He actually said that the forewoman of the jury was biased against Trump. And so I think, attack the judge, attack the DOJ lawyers, attack the jury. Step four is the clemency for Roger Stone. I think the only question
is... Well, there's one other step you're missing, Judith, and that's the new trial, which the judge also was brilliant in saying, okay, we're going to sentence and then we'll deal with this later.
Right.
Really kind of trumping Trump. He's got to wait until... Because if she says you get a whole new trial, he'll wait.
Right. And it'll push it past the November election.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So in that sense... It was good timing on her part.
Yeah, I mean, the dramatist in me wanted her to get up on the bench and scream at him for interfering and throw the book at Stone. But what she did, as you mentioned, was much more strategic.
Well, she really read him the Riot Act.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
She really made it clear that, had broken a major law. And that he deserved to go to prison for that.
Seven major laws.
and that he was going to be held responsible. And it was clear that she was talking to the president also.
Yeah.
She said that Mr. Stone hindered a congressional inquiry of national importance because the truth would have embarrassed the president and his 2016 campaign. The documentary evidence alone, she said, proved that Mr. Stone deceived the House Intelligence Committee about his efforts to obtain information from WikiLeaks about Democratic emails that had been stolen by Russian operatives, and more on that story later, who sought to influence the 2016 presidential election. Here is the quote. He was not prosecuted, as some have complained, for standing up for the president. He was prosecuted for covering up for the president, the judge said. In government inquiry, she added, quote, the truth still exists. The truth still matters. Otherwise, she said, everyone loses.
Now, I know we're on this subject, and I think it's a great subject, and I'm glad we're there. But I really want to know, does Devin Nunes have an opponent? If he did, where does one send their money?
He just ran a term, so it's next year that he'll come up.
Who?
Devin Nunes.
No,
he won in the 2018
election.
The
House members all...
Every 2 years.
All come up the
Everybody
same time.
Has,
so
this November.
No, he'll be running the same time the president will.
Right. He does have an opponent.
Yeah. I asked that with my phone.
The interesting thing here is when Trump said, I think Stone was treated unfairly, I think that's telling because it means independent of what a judge or jury says, if Trump thinks a different outcome is preferable, then he can intervene, he can pardon, he can strong-arm people like William Barr. I thought that was so telling. That really is a window into his personality. I think this person was treated unfairly. Therefore, I'm going to step in independent of what the legal system says.
The McCabe case emphasizes that, Aaron, where he sicked at the Department of Justice on McCabe. He went through months and months of investigation. They couldn't come back with an indictment. They were sent back to try again. Couldn't do it. Finally, he's released, and he's still tweeting.
And didn't they fire him one day before his pension?
One day before his pension kicked in.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, cruel and just...
Well, he uses the levers of government to go after his perceived enemies.
But, back to
Alan's... We've heard this song before.
Back to Alan's original point about why Barr said what he did about, you know, Trump making his job difficult. Mm-hmm. Barr's not a dummy. He knows who's pulling the strings. It just, by Barr saying that, it gives the appearance that the Department of Justice at this point is neutral, and that anything that Trump says is just going to complicate Barr's loyalism to Trump. And if you get rid of those tweets, then Barr can do Trump's bidding and seem like it's impartial.
Well, that's even taking it seriously. I don't take it.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even take it seriously. I think he knows he's in trouble. Look, 2,000 Justice Department, ex-Justice Department people came in and said, you know, you're a stinker. Mm-hmm. Then 1,000 judges, ex-judges, come in and make it plain. He knew all of that was coming, I'm sure. This was circulating. He knew it was happening, and he wanted to get out from under. And the proof of the pudding is that, unlike everything else, we don't see Trump giving Barr a hard time. So it had to be a fix. The fix was in.
It's his version of community theater. William Barr opening a Capitol Rep next week, although Capitol Rep is not community theater,
yes,
per se.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Sorry, no, just hold back on the calls.
So yeah. where do we go from here? I mean, you do have to wonder where this all goes. I mean, yesterday, Rosemary and I think you said it on the air, but we were talking during the break, and you said, I bet there's a pardon by the end of the day.
Yeah, I thought there would have been, and there might have been, had the judge not acted as she did.
She was still so think smart.
Of, yeah, wow. That's why I say, you know, I wanted this big dramatic gesture, but what she did was wise.
Well, you know, here is Trump, who sticks his finger in everybody's eye and says, "Good, I don't care what you think of me." But on this one, he was a little bit more cautious. And I wonder what you think about why.
Well, I think he really wants to play it as carefully as he can, because he genuinely does not want his buddy Roger Stone in prison.
Well, then he only had to do is pardon him.
Yeah, well, that may be coming soon. But I think he's pausing a little bit because his lawyers are probably telling who he never listens to, or
exactly,
telling him, you have to be bulletproof on this if you really want to keep your dude out of jail.
No, Alan tried. Lindsey Graham was out there saying he has a perfect right to pardon Stone or anybody else he wants, which mm-hmm. is
he does have the right.
Correct.
I mean, that's uncontested.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think the really profound thing is the number of people sitting in jail cells for a long period of times, maybe because of the mandatory minimum sentencing, who, they broke a law at some point in their life. They're literally sitting in jail, and then they see all the president's men, from Rod Blagojevich to Bernie Kerik to Chris Christie's buddy.
Milken.
I mean, come
They're
on.
They're not the president's men. That's incorrect. I think his strategy is to go. Blagojevich isn't even Republican, and he's let them all go. This is about the public's perception of corruption and white collar crime, and he's saying that what I did was nothing more than any other businessman or politician
does. Well, that's
not as people.
That's
though.
Well,
it's different than Stone and Manafort and Flynn.
Well, I think Trump probably really relates to Rod Blagojevich,
right,
because he's done things like that.
Sure. Yeah, what's wrong with selling a Senate seat?
but one really has to wonder how this is all going to come out. Assuming Trump gets reelected, we can pretty well understand where we're going to be going, right? We can pretty
yes.
well understand this is a good time to start looking at properties in Mexico. Although I have to say, somebody wrote to me recently and said, "Yeah, you could say that, but we don't have enough money to move." So bad on you. In any case, it can only. Can you imagine if this guy gets a second term?
He's not.
He's not what?
He's not going to get a second term. And any time.
I'm just going to let that hang in the air for a moment. But
Rosemary, who has predicted the opposite, is
I've already
up
had
because
my,
she, I think I, she finally understands what I've been saying. Yeah. If you say that Trump is going to win, you are basically disheartening a lot of people who just say, "Oh, it's not worth doing this," and we'll pick a candidate to run who may not in fact win, but at least he's our guy. You know what I mean?
I have now. Everyone do not laugh at this. I have great faith in the American voters that they are not going to reelect
Trump. I'm not laughing, I'm scoffing.
Yes, it's worse than laughing.
Now, we're not laughing, we're just mocking you.
Judith, here's the point. The thing that is so disappointing about all of this is that the Republican numbers supporting Trump, the senators, do not stop.
Right.
They go right there no matter how bad. They are watching the dissolution of the American democracy, and they don't give a damn.
The Republican Party is over. Every Democratic candidate who's running beats Trump in polls, some by different degrees. And Trump is freaking out a lot of people. It's interesting the first few years, and now people are just exhausted by him.
Yes, but where's the evidence?
But you know, Trump can call in some friends from overseas to
well,
help
that's the big unknown.
You know,
and where's
so
the evidence?
Well, yeah, and I know
the evidence is all the national polls that have been out. Wait, the last few weeks.
No, well, the national polls are showing Trump actually
every Democrat beating. Every Democrat
I know.
Beating Trump.
But increasing, the polls are showing that his personal popularity is increasing. How is that happening?
And we'll leave that question in the air, and we'll go and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that and other stuff. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. We would have been back sooner when we were talking, and which apparently ticked off Rosemary. But
no, I didn't. I was enjoying it. I was just like, wow, though, why are we still off?
It's like I could play another game of this then. Well, good morning. Welcome. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Judith Eng, Aaron Pasitti, and Rosemary Armeo. We go to letters now.
By the way, his name is Aaron Pasitti. It is not Aaron New York City. I apologize for that. I started doing that early in the game. Yeah. And now he tells me that people are walking up to him and say, is your name really New York City?
Well, now they say New York Pasitti.
Yeah, New York Pasitti.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Anyway, Frank says, Stone, does the judge's decision to sentence Stone to 40 months tell us that Barr's recommendation was more reasonable than the 7 to 9 years being sought by the prosecutors? Thanks. Frank, they rhyme. Thanks and Frank.
No. The career professionals did their memo, 25-page detailed legal memo, following the sentencing guidelines, which is what the Justice Department almost always uses. The next day, you get the first-year law school memo just saying we want significantly less time. I don't think the bar memo made any sense.
Well, when you think about it, it's just another piece of proof that Barr is kissing the posterior of the president, right? And, I think it's just incredible what the judge did. We've all been very we've all saluted the judge for the wisdom of the way she did the sentencing. It was brilliant. She actually gave them what they wanted. Mm-hmm. She gave them what they wanted, which was less. But at the same time, okay, I'll give you what you want, but I'm going to tell you what I really think here. And I think you people have done to the president of the United States. And brilliant, just
I mean,
brilliant.
Seven felonies is what mm-hmm. he was
convicted.
It's been
convicted
a good...
of. And like Judith mentioned, there are people who have committed, you know, much smaller offenses with mandatory minimum sentences who are serving much longer sentences. Yep. They just don't happen to be friends with the president or people in power.
Kid walks into a grocery store with a gun.
Or they
he goes
sell,
away for most of his life.
Bowl of Coke.
Yeah. I actually think that the president sort of won this already, although the play that the judge had was very limited and she did well. But yes, he has a sentence way beneath what he should have gotten for those offenses.
Well, how
so
do you
he's
say
won that? In a way, even if he doesn't pardon him and get him out altogether.
Well, let's play it out differently, Rosemary. Let's say she came down and said, okay, you're going to do 9 years in the can mm-hmm. or 8 years in the can. You would have seen an immediate mm-hmm. pardon or immediate commutation.
Or a flood of tweets at the very least. I get it.
I think she had her way with him.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth.
I think it's been a good week for smart, savvy women leaders in government.
Who else are you thinking of, Judith?
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Those
so
two.
I can come up yeah. with a third.
All right, that's good.
Okay. Barr and Trump. Says Steve from Cummington. Dear panel, I think Barr's statement that Trump is making my job impossible has been misinterpreted. Barr sees his job as doing Trump's bidding. Trump makes Barr's job impossible, in quotes, by tweeting because the tweets call attention to Barr's craven action. Barr would prefer to operate in the dark shadows, keep on keeping on. That's a sort of leftist, you know, trope. You say, keep on keeping on. Pete used to say that all the time. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. And that's Steve from Cummington. Now, let me just respond to that a little bit. And that is that Barr is in serious trouble. I mean, he's a lawyer. He has to go home at night. Sooner or later, they're going to figure out a way to disbar him. No pun intended. And you know, he's got to face his family and say, what am I going to do about this? The president is making it impossible for me. I think he had to do something, and the fact that the president has not responded to that something indicates that the president, even the president, knew it. No?
You're assuming Barr has a sense of morality that surpasses his aspirations. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing as Mitch McConnell. Like all of a sudden, Lindsey Graham, these people swallow their pride—not pride, self-respect in their past positions.
Integrity is the
integrity,
word.
Integrity, and use that for career advancement. And that's exactly what Barr's doing.
Let us not forget he lobbied for this job.
Right.
He has exactly what he wants, and he's promoting his own ideals.
But I agree with. Steve was the letter. I mean, I 100% agree with that. Barr wants to do his dirty work in the dark, and that's the most effective and efficient way to do it. And Trump calling public attention to that just muddies the water.
Well, remember a few days ago, a reporter asked Barr if he was worried about his legacy. And Barr's response was, at some point, we all die.
Not in history books.
That's all true.
That is true.
Anyway, one doesn't always even if they die, their reputation goes after
right.
them.
Yeah, look at Pete Seeger; he's all still with us.
Best of the best.
And when Barr dies, you know what the first line of the obituary is going to say? And I don't wish him ill. He said that.
And Russ says, clown car, Roger Stone is a buffoon. I agree with Trump that a multiple-year prison term is a bit harsh for buffoonery. But that begs the question, why would Trump seek to champion clowns? In fact, there's a certain resemblance of his administration to the circus clown car. Well, I think we all have some issues with this particular
letter. I would argue that there's a difference between felonies and buffoonery.
Yes.
Yeah. And don't offend the clowns.
For God's sakes, don't offend the clowns.
Because they bite you or something. So that's Russ's letter. Anybody else on that? Thank you. Moving right on.
To
David. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I've read
what
clowns,
circus have you been at?
clowns can be very mean. David says, Trump. Good morning, panel. Trump claims to be the chief law enforcement officer of the country. What does the Constitution say about that, David from Queensbury?
Well, we talked about this.
We did.
It says that the president gets to pick the attorney general, and so in a way he's right.
He's also the head IT guy.
Yeah, right.
He can't get Windows to work, call the
commander.
President.
Runs the Treasury Department.
And the last letter I have put in front of me now is from Joyce, who says, new plastic ban law in New York State. Well, Judith. That's for you. Hello, panel. I'm keeping 5 reusable bags for shopping in my car for use. Questions. What will I use for garbage disposal if I can't use plastic bags? Do I use a paper bag for that? Paper bags for that? What do I use to dispose of my food garbage? I have already recycled plastic bags from the stores for garbage. Can't find info about that anywhere. And that's Joyce from South Fallsburg.
Now, welcome to our Hints from Heloise segment on the WAMC Roundtable program. We go over to Heloise herself. Judith Eng.
Joyce, I'll be right over. Here's what you need to do. With your food waste, just start a compost bin, and then your garbage won't smell.
And the raccoons, if you want to pet raccoons, that'll
very be easy to compost. You have to enclose it. That's yard waste and food waste. You can still buy plastic garbage bags. They are not exempt from the law. The law that's taking effect in New York on March 1st, tick, 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 only covers plastic bags from stores, like supermarkets,
convenience stores,
Macy's, wherever you shop. So you could use paper bags.
Wherever multiple items are
although
sold.
There are issues with the paper bags too, right?
I'm just answering the garbage can question. I'm getting very granular here. Yeah. So you can use that or you can still buy plastic bags. The key thing on bags is what Joyce is already doing. Leave a handful of bags in your car so you don't forget them. And over time.
Yeah, but you still got to worry about not forgetting them in the car walking into the supermarket.
You then
tape them to the dashboard.
You then walk back to the car. It can be done. I've been in the supermarket and I'm like, oh, I left my bags in the car. You abandon the cart, take your purse with you, go outside, open the door, bring the bags back in, or you can buy new bags.
Video on YouTube on how to do this.
Since we're getting granular, I'll just say that my initial, and this is at the store I shop at. So the one issue that seems to be happening is because the bags are bigger, God, they're heavy.
You can't carry
they're
them.
They're really heavy. They put so much stuff. So they'll say,
you can talk to the nice person who's doing the bagging.
Where do you
and say,
shop?
A variety of places.
No,
honestly,
fine.
Food
nice.
Co-op, Hannaford, you can say, don't make it so heavy.
Yes.
Or bring smaller bags. It's going to be a nice conversation starter with the Packers.
But the real issue is cat litter. I've been shipping our plastic bags from New York to my friend in California for kitty litter bags for years now, and now I'm running out. Paper's awful. The newspaper bags that are exempt are the small holes.
The litter goes
everywhere.
That's literally granular.
It is granular, yes.
You still have a lot of plastic bags in your life. So you
yeah,
can
I've been saving them.
Bread bags. Bread bags, frozen food bags. If the Times Union comes to your house on a rainy day.
They don't work. They don't work. No.
You can manage. You can manage.
Well, I've been stockpiling plastic bags. I've been leaving the tote bags in the car and saying, give me bags and only put like one thing in every bag,
please. That's horrifying.
Yeah,
I know. No one else should do that.
I know.
I'm
telling you, so you can yell at us.
I'm just saying, but everyone is doing that.
Yeah. Stop. Stop right now. Get really good reusable bags.
You'll get us through this difficult time, won't you, Judith?
I will.
You can't use reusable bags for kitty litter, though. That's the problem.
Use kitty litter?
This sounds like a giant market opportunity for somebody to come up with something other than a plastic bag that is more
scoopable bags.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
someone
my God.
Will.
We'll talk later.
What? It's an entrepreneurial moment.
Yeah.
All right.
I bet we get more mail about this.
Absolutely. I hope so.
You're welcome.
The president of the United States was dragging this country under.
We have a lot of stone stuff, so and there's a joke there somewhere, I'm sure. But we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our program this morning. Alan Chartok, Judith Enk, Aaron Pasitti, and Rosemary Armeo. I'm Joe Donahue. We were talking during the break. We continued and we were asking, Aaron asked a question about burning garbage.
And everybody took it to mean burning garbage, and we didn't know
what that meant. No. Burning garbage.
I did.
Burning garbage. And so we go to all of this about the bags and concern about the environment, and then we learn that the PFOA and the PFOS chemical compounds that we have heard so much about in our region are being burned in cajos. So I know environmental groups are suing to stop that. What does that mean, and will they be successful?
I hope so. This is an incredibly serious issue. Firefighter foam that's been used to put out high temperature fires contains PFOS, a very toxic chemical that's part of a larger group of chemicals known as PFAS.
Now, I just to interject for a second, this is a national issue in the sense that all of this comes to us courtesy of the Defense Department.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is a national issue that's playing out in Cajos and in a few other communities around the country. 75% of firefighter foam is generated by the military. Because it is so toxic, they stopped using it a few years ago.
and it's now stockpiled at military installations around the country. And what had happened for years is the military wisely said, we don't have a safe disposal method, so we're just keeping this on site. We're going to do some more research, figure out what to do. Trump administration comes in. Somehow, the Department of Defense gets the idea that protecting the environment is not quite a priority for this administration. So they quietly sign contracts with incinerator companies to ship it all to be burned.
Now, what did the Cohoes incinerator plant burn prior to this contract?
They burn a lot of liquid hazardous waste. They have a history of environmental problems there. The incinerator in Cohoes is currently shut down because they're installing some new pollution controls to make sure they're not polluting the Mohawk River. But what was surprising and newsworthy this week is the National Sierra Club submitted a Freedom of Information request, love Freedom of Information requests, and they learned that the Department of Defense signed a contract with Norlite's parent company, and last year 40 shipments of PFOS-containing firefighter foam went to Cohoes. Some of it was burned. Some of it is being stored on site. This is a huge problem. By definition, when you burn firefighter foam, that material, it's resistant to breaking down in incineration. That's what the product is. And then whatever is in the incinerator will not be captured by the pollution controls on the stacks. Some pollution controls will capture heavy metals, different particulate matter. This stuff is really slippery. So basically, this chemical will become airborne and be deposited in the soil, in the Hudson River, across the river in Rensselaer County, where prevailing winds send it.
I know. I have three questions. One is, how safe is it when it's just being stored?
I don't know what the storage conditions are.
Okay. So it depends.
It depends. If it's being stored properly, it should not be a major problem, but first responders need to know that it's there.
And those of us in the region know about PFOAs because of what happened in Hoosick Falls.
Right. So, yeah, Hoosick Falls, Petersburg, southern Vermont had their water supplies contaminated with PFOA. PFOS is kind of the kissing cousin of PFOA. And in Newburgh, New York, a community of over 25,000 people had their public water supply contaminated with PFOS from the military down there. You know, what's your second question, Joe?
That was my second question.
What's your third?
My third question is that with...
And I have the fourth.
Okay, so but there's nothing... As of right now, you say that they're currently stopped because they're putting in these new things. But what they're doing under this is not... illegal.
No, I think it is illegal because in the basis of the federal lawsuit yesterday is they violated the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA. That's the law that requires agencies to take a hard look at the environmental impact. So if you were building an apartment building in Cambridge, you would have to go through an environmental review. Here, the Department of Defense is shipping millions of gallons of very toxic PFOS around the country to be burned. No environmental analysis whatsoever. They also didn't tell anyone. They didn't tell state regulators. They didn't tell local government officials. They thought this would just all be done in, you know, under the table and no one would know.
My family is from Cohoes, and this is what I know of Cohoes. Is this a populated area?
Yes.
I mean, this is a residential area.
Right next to the incinerator is a public housing complex where 70 families live.
For a change. And my fourth question is, how long before the Real Estate Association of Cohoes will be writing you a letter?
Because
I can just hear the prices dropping. Who would want to live in a place where, you know, your children and your grandchildren could be seriously affected?
Well, the good thing is there is an honest new mayor in Cohoes, replacing that guy who didn't before him, who didn't was not committed to good government. We'll leave it at that. And I think he's looking out for the best interest of the community. He put a statement out yesterday saying the incineration should not proceed until important questions are answered. But I think this
Who runs the incinerator?
Norlite.
Oh, so in other words, it's a private company.
Private company.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is a time when every level of government needs to work cooperatively. The state of New York, the governor, for instance, could direct the New York Department of Environmental Conservation to do a regulation prohibiting the burning of this classic chemicals anywhere in New York.
How fortuitous, because in just a few minutes...
At 10:30 this morning.
I'll be talking to the governor. Why don't I ask him about
that?
Wow.
Why don't you jot down a question?
And the governor signed a bill into law last year that prohibited the use of this chemical in firefighter drills. So he wanted to protect the water and the soil. This would be an extension of that.
We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Alan, you have some letters. Let's go.
I do. Okay, Joe. From Stephanie in Lanesboro, Massachusetts. The comment of the panel that the American voters are not going to elect Trump is correct because the American people didn't elect him this time. They elected overwhelmingly Hillary Clinton. The narrowly defined segments in three states representing 70,000 American voters shifted the Electoral College yet again. And again, we are reminded erroneously that not enough people voted and that the Americans elected Trump. They elected Hillary. And with the help of Russia gerrymandering and a bit of our populace pulled off the biggest theft of democracy ever. And that is from Stephanie. And there she goes. So what do you
think? And it's happening all over again in 2020, as we're reminded by the New York Times last night.
I agree with Stephanie, but I mean, that's just semantics. Trump's in office and Clinton is not.
And by
the
way,
it doesn't matter who wins the popular vote.
Every time he says that they are trying to rob the duly elected president of the United States of his office, I always wonder why there isn't more comeback on this question of Hillary getting the 3 million extra votes.
Because duly elected means by the rules in place. And,
right,
and
that,
the Electoral College is the rule in place.
Well,
this is the same as Bernie people complaining about superdelegates when he knew before he began in 2016 that superdelegates were in place, not that he won them anyway.
By the way, you want to take a second, gang, to define superdelegate for everybody?
It was a protection put in place by the Democratic Party to prevent what happened with the Republican Party, i.e. Trump coming in and taking over. And it was supposed
the superdelegates were
correct.
Preceded
it was
that.
It was a Democratic reform. And the idea was that party regulars, people who had the best interests of the party, would have an outsized voice if it came to that, if there was a fight, if the popular vote was
so
unclear.
So Teddy Kennedy, for example, was a superdelegate.
Yeah,
yes,
I think
he was. People who were politically connected.
They were big deal Democrats, establishment Democrats. So that's why Bernie attacked it. But, you know, the truth was that it never got to superdelegates with Bernie. He didn't win at the primary level. But the idea was that, and it's still in place, that they would protect the party from an upstart like a Trump coming in and taking over.
Well, do you see any similarity, any possibility of that happening again, Rosemary, right
now? Obviously, you know, Bernie sees it. That was the question at the last debate about do you believe that a plurality, whoever has the plurality going into the convention should win? And that, at this point, looks like it clearly will be
Bernie.
But he won't have enough to actually
win.
When
you add up all the other contestants.
And all the other contestants who already, including Buttigieg, who already has some candidate, who already has some delegates, have said no, play by the process, which is what Bernie heard in 2016. He heard it in 2018. He's hearing it now. He's got to win fair and square by the rules in place.
So that's the panel at WAMC.org if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to scream at Rosemary more.
But,
you know, that my point is that this it's the same with the Electoral College. I don't like it. Two candidates I care about in recent elections, Gore and then Hillary, won popular vote and lost to this really outdated, outmoted, we vote directly for a senator. Why are we not voting directly for president? It's a ridiculous system, but it's been in place since there was a country. And I don't see any hope of it being changed.
You know what I've been thinking a lot about lately for some reason is imagine if Gore won and where we would be on the climate change issue.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I mean, it literally would change
you think that's
the future
Gore's fault?
Of the world.
Gore should have contested in Florida.
Absolutely.
That was.
I agree.
He played the statesman, which
no
is a mistake.
No time to be polite when the future of the planet is at stake.
Yeah.
All right, one more letter and then we're going to take a break.
Okay, Eric says it's a close call. Good morning, panel. As someone who hangs out every morning with a group that includes Trump supporters, I can say with confidence that these Trump supporters aren't as fond of Trump as they are of the way he does what he does. They think he is putting it to the same people they hate. Whether that is worth a second vote, I think, remains undecided in their minds. Depends on the opponent. Great show as ever. Our great friend Eric from Richmond, who writes this quite often and who I greatly admire.
It sounds like he has a nice little breakfast club going.
He must like to argue.
Yes, Alan's right.
I can see why Trump was elected in 2016. It was just a lot of people who have been disenfranchised by the traditional two-party system, and he got one chance, and now people have seen that unfold, and whether or not they're happy with him is to be determined.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We have more letters, and we welcome yours. Panel at WAMC.org. Next. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Coming up at 10:30, it is Alan Chartok speaking with the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo. We will get to that in a few minutes. But before we do, we have letters and other topics to talk about. Alan has some letters. We'll go there first.
Okay. Chris says, Trump's increasing popularity and the Russian influence. Dear panel, Alan, you ask how it is that Trump's popularity is growing despite his obvious crimes? Isn't that somehow influenced by Russian interference? Hasn't Trump's popularity always been tied to Russian influence groups?
I don't think so. I think a lot of people support Trump because they feel persecuted in their own lives, whether it's from their boss and they see somebody on the national stage who exemplifies that. And I think a large degree of Trump support doesn't come from his policy positions.
But from his personal.
Yeah.
I don't get how Trump exemplifies that. That remains a mystery to me, that this guy born with a silver spoon in his mouth, who's never worked a day in his life, who's had everything handed to him, who continues not to pay consequences for his bad actions, exemplifies the struggles of the American worker. However, I do think that Fox News and Russian influence on social media continues to downplay his bad points that we play up here, that gets lost. And it plays up controversies in the culture war that Trump has a big part in, and that helps him.
Well, it's also, you know, you both have points, but I still think it's keep America white again. And that is why Trump continues, no matter what he does, no matter what despicable thing he does.
But I think that's a subset of feeling persecuted. If, you know, your wages haven't gone up, it's always somebody else's fault. It's not your rich boss's fault or the tax code that's in place.
But you know, Aaron, you watch this man destroy the U.S. Constitution. Think about that and where it's going. And, you know, everybody went to school. We know about the Constitution. We know what it means. We know about, you know, three branches of government. And here's this guy tearing it all down. And there is no defection among Republican voters for that.
I can see why there's not defection among Republican voters. I can't see why there's not defection among Republican politicians. I think voters have a very different calculus when it comes to who they're going to vote for. They're probably not feeling the day-to-day effects of the Constitution being destroyed in their lives, and therefore they're perfectly fine with that. Now, 10, 20 years from now, that might be a different story. But it's the politicians that that they're not more vocal about this, that just boggles my mind and is despicable.
They're afraid of Trump. And how many times do we hear Democratic U.S. senators saying, well, privately, the Republican senators say this, but they're such cowards, every single one of them.
Not even privately. During the when they were all running for president against Trump in the nominating process, they were pretty outspoken about who and what this guy is.
But then he won, and then he has this mob mentality as control.
We have names
of Fox
for that.
News.
Andre writes, taboo debate subject. Dear panel, in all the debates, the coverage, not one peep from anyone about the military-industrial complex and how making some sensible cuts in military spending could be a viable source for funding important programs without endangering our military strength and preparedness. Of course, I'm a paranoid liberal baby boomer, but is it so taboo because any candidate who really opens up the public discourse courts the possibility of assassination? If you've never listened to Ike's farewell speech, Google it. more timely than ever, and that's Andre from Taconic.
I don't know how to touch that. I think he's padding the military budget on purpose. We already have the largest military in the world in history. But he now, we've seen his trick. He borrows from it to bypass congressional purse string control.
To build the wall. Yep.
Yeah, his wall or whatever his next project might be.
I think the point is well taken, however. Jim says, Bernie Bros. I'm confused by the term Bernie Bros. Would the panel please provide a definition? Many thanks. And this is Jim from Athol, Mass.
I mean, I just think it's a generic term for Bernie supporters that probably appeals to a millennial vocabulary.
Not all of them. It refers to the rabid and uncontrollably uncivil and impolite idiots that we hear about when we voice anything other than utter love of Bernie Sanders.
And I wonder if those are
there,
Russian
you've
bots.
And done it again.
That's a good point.
You know, I think...
I'm sorry, I missed it.
I wonder if those are Russian bots. I mean, we read in the New York Times that Russia is interfering in the Democratic primary election, and it's in Trump's interest to have tremendous division among Democratic primary voters. But I think the Bernie Bros are typically young guys who are very over-enthusiastic about their candidate, and it, kind of view him as a charismatic leader, which is kind of funny. And I don't like the phrase because I'm just thrilled when young people really tune into politics, get involved in political campaigns. Of course, they should be civil, but I'd much rather them being overenthusiastic and paying attention than not voting.
What percentage?
They're turning. I'm sorry.
No, you. Please do.
Yeah, I think about this a lot. I think it's the flip side of the good thing, the very good thing Bernie has done. Did you hear me? I said the very good thing Bernie has done, which is to engage younger voters. But there is a lack of moderation in many of his supporters, and Bernie has not disavowed it. He says the same things you do. Oh, it's lovely that they're engaged, and I wish they would be good. And there's problems in other campaigns too. Not acceptable in this current environment.
Well, you know, it you have to, if you're on Twitter backing candidates and talking about politics, you have to have a thick skin. You can always block people. I mean, I want college students, high school students, really following the election, and if they get really enthusiastic for Joe Biden or Mike Bloomberg, God bless.
And by the way, I don't. If you take a look at the president's rallies, you'll see a lot of young people sitting there. So it's not everybody who is.
Oh, then there's Trump supporters. I equate the Bernie Bros to the Trump-like supporters that have attached to.
A bridge too far.
They're uncivil. They're threatening. What's the difference?
I don't think they threaten
violence. They're misogynistic.
I think that's an unfair characterization.
Okay. Moving right along. Alan said, Barr is in serious trouble. No, he is not. Neither are some of the other devils in the GOP like Moscow Mitch. They'll leave government at some point and make millions on the lecture circuit.
Cha-ching.
There is no justice, period. No, I think I'm going to stick with what I've said. Obviously, this is a guy who he begged, as Rosemary has put it, for the job in the first place. But now, he's got to go home at night, and he's got to know that a good part of the American people, including the people of great intelligence and an awful lot of not all, are really opposed to what he's been doing. I think that's what it is. I think he is in trouble.
I think it's an ego thing, too.
Yeah.
He wants to be regarded as a great attorney general. And now you're right. He knows that people just think of him, even if he is acting on his own, which I don't believe. Even if he were, people still see him as doing a toady for Trump.
And this is his second run as attorney general,
absolutely.
Right? Not that I remembered the first time.
No.
It was similar. He protected the Bush against Iran-Contra charges that should have come more solidly at his feet.
William says, Alan says he voted for Bernie the last time in the primaries, but he won't this time. Is that you're saying I won't this time? Did I say I'm not voting who I'm voting for? What has changed? I agree with Rosemary. We are doomed. And William in Benson, Vermont. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm going to copyright that expression, by the way.
We're doomed.
Can I bring up one thing in the middle of the letters, another environmental thing? Judith, you know about this, so I'll ask about it. She's gotten me involved in it because I want some students to look into it. And that's the landfill, a construction landfill, right on the river in Rensselaer, right directly next to a school. And there's some events this weekend. Can you just say a little bit about that?
Sure. So the Dunn Landfill is now the largest construction and demolition debris landfill in the state. It's right next to a school. It often stinks terribly. It never should have been sited there.
Asbestos.
Yeah, it's called construction and demolition debris, like when you take buildings apart. So asbestos and lead and, you know, lots
all
of rubble.
Kinds of heavy metals.
All that good stuff.
And
yeah.
and it intermittently, it smells really bad. It's not
like
constant. And so the residents of Rensselaer are really burdened by this. And I would argue that if this landfill was in a more affluent community, they wouldn't have to endure all of this pollution. So the local residents there are so well informed. They're organizing. They started a group called Rensselaer Environmental Coalition, and they're doing an important meeting. It's two syllables, Rensselaer. They're doing an important environmental meeting tomorrow at noon at the Rensselaer Library.
Okay, now let's go back to the letters only because we've got to be cutting out of here pretty
sure.
soon.
But maybe you could ask the governor about that, too.
I've already got one from Judith that I'm going to ask. John says, Trump won with stone sentence. Stone sentence was too light. Trump, stone, and bar won. If the judge had handed down a heavier sentence, then Trump would have pardoned him and drawn more attention to Trump's evil. It would also have caused another Trump tantrum, further revealing Trump's incapabilities. That's from John in Vermont, another WAMC listener in Vermont. Great.
Love Vermont.
Yes,
we
do. Vermont is terrific. And,
great colleges there.
Yeah, well put. In any way, we disagree on that. Obviously, there have always been people who think it should get. There have always been people, often to my left, who think that the worse it gets, the better it is, because sooner or later, it'll all get overthrown by the revolution. I have never believed that, and I've never seen it. So,
and they don't have families who are being stopped at the border and the children put in cages.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say it. Okay, and Jan says waste. There are also food-based green bags for garbage. Do not harm planet. Work great. And that's from Jan. And the question
she follows my rule when you write short good, long bad.
Yes, except that she does is she throws me off when she says there are also food based, and then she says there, letter R, also. No, see, that makes me think twice. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's a young person doing social media language.
I think
R.
Cynthia says the Democrats' purity test will out Trump back in office. These are not ordinary times. Warren's strategy at the debate, attacking Bloomberg and continuing to press for releasing people from their NDA pales in comparison to what we should be doing. We should really be debating. Warren will be instrumental to Trump getting reelected. And that's from Cynthia from New Paltz, who wants to see a woman president. All right. And Travis says, do Bernie followers assume his policies will be enacted despite requiring the requisite cooperation of the centrist party members? I worry primary voters are ignoring the fact that he will accomplish little without compromising his hardline positions. I don't know who the right candidate is, but I don't feel Bernie has proven his ability to reach across the aisle on issues like climate resolutions or health care. Like our climate, is his candidacy simply an exercise in blowing hot air? Travis, again in Vermont.
No. The fact that he's putting concepts like single-payer health care, a living wage, breaking up banks that are too big to fail, all of these things that have been off the agenda and have caused so many economic, environmental, legal problems, that's not hot air. That's a platform that really has its legacy with the New Deal and then the Kennedy-Johnson administration. And the fact that it seems so radical today is the clearest sign that of just how far this country has shifted to the right.
And, yeah, and look at what this administration has done just with their executive power.
Yeah, right.
You know, when Democrats get in office, they're pretty cautious. They don't want to move too fast a lot of times. They have to survive judicial scrutiny on new regulations. But look at what the Trump administration has done, pulling the levers of executive authority. I mean, if Bernie Sanders or any other candidate got us back in the Paris Climate Accord, mm-hmm. which they can do without Congress because it's not a treaty, that alone is worth mm-hmm. electing a Democrat.
Well, we've heard from Gus in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. To replace plastic bags, there are biodegradable, compostable bags on the market coming to a store near you.
The New York State regulation doesn't allow for compostable plastic bags because they don't always really compost.
Yeah.
So you got to shift to reusable bags, mister.
Karen
who's
says,
up early?
Bags. And he's from Vermont. I like Vermont. Karen, bags. Please let the panel know there are compostable bags available at a reasonable price. You have just answered that, Judith, right?
Yep.
Jason, plastic bags. We've been using reusable bags for a while, long before they implemented a ban in Ulster County. It took us a while to remember to bring them, which was frustrating. Now we've got the hang of it, though they're much better in every way, not the least for our delicate and deteriorating environment. Don't you have to wash those bags every once in a while? I look down at the bottom of the ones I bring in there and say, yeah.
Well, if you've spilled something, you should wash it, but you don't have to be a germaphobe about your bags. I mean, I have this big L.L. Bean bag I've used for over 25 years. I washed it once recently.
And you're still alive.
Still
and
alive.
Healthy.
Better yet, the bag's still alive.
Yeah, right.
Allison says, bags. I use dog poop bags for scoopable kitty litter. If you care about reducing plastic waste, consider plant starch garbage bags readily decompose. Okay, so in other words, here's a point about the poop bags. It is true that the ones I have used up to now, Judith, I have to confess, I'm mm-hmm. so sorry, are plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of them because mm-hmm. dogs tend to poop again and again mm-hmm. and again.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's the jerk who lets his dog, obviously a rather large dog, poop on the property next to me, and I pick it up because I love my neighbors. But that's just wrong, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh yes, and I really hope we move on to a different topic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay then. Allison said that. Tracy says plastic bags. Good morning. I'm happy to switch to reusable bags since the plastic bag from the supermarkets are terrible. I've never had a shopping trip which one has not torn. I've just purchased more of the reusables at my local supermarket, and they're strong and hold more, small price to pay for saving the planet. And we also heard from Daniel. Judith said reusable plastic bread bags. Bread that comes in a plastic bag is generally mass-produced and of awful quality. I buy bread from real excellent bakeries, and they always put their loaves of bread in paper.
That's not true. I mean, mm-hmm. It may be true for her, mm-hmm. but there are wonderful mm-hmm. bakeries who also use plastic bags.
We're not going to name them, but I know
what you're talking about. I mean, and so,
delicious,
but just,
overpriced. Yeah,
right, just saying.
Plastic.
Stop eating terrible bread that is a mockery of all bakeries of serious repute.
Oh, no.
Not to mention Europe, and that's Daniel. And then Roxanne says, morning. What does Judith have to say to the so-called compostable bags I've seen on the internet? Are these really environmentally friendly? Thanks.
Generally, no.
And Jay says, bags for kitty litter. I think we had this one already. You can get biodegradable plastic bags made from corn, I believe, for picking up dog poop, and those for kitty litter. Also, you are 100% right about Trump being reelected. Thanks for sharing your brilliance on the roundtable, Jay. And that was to you, Rosemary. And Jeff says,
it went from kitty litter to national elections quickly.
So did I. I mean, I can't fault that.
And then we heard from Jeff, who says, kitty litter, great panel. We switched to heavy paper lunch bags mm-hmm. about 3 years ago mm-hmm. from plastic bags. We used them all week, leaving them next to the litter box. And when they're full once a week, place them in our regular garbage bag and dispose of them.
Okay.
No, it does not smell if at all if you dispose of them once a week.
Thank you very much. I will start trying that as soon as I run out of the supply I've been building up over the last
10 years.
And let us know, Rosemary, if it's
I will. I will report back.
I have gone, and I don't want to get letters from cat people, but I have gone into a house with a lot of cat people, and there's a certain smell that
not in my house. Febreze. Yeah.
Okay, well, great. And
well,
Jan says
product endorsements.
And Jan says reusable bags.
Good for the environment too. That Febreze. Go ahead, Alan.
I've been hearing the conversation about reusable bags, and I have an idea that works well with meat from the meat counter. At the store, they always want to put the meat in a plastic bag at the checkout counter, and I always refuse, instead asking them to put it into my cloth bags, which I bring home and wash with bleach. They come out of the weight washer nice and sanitary, ready to use again. All of my other groceries go into reusable bags I have purchased from the grocery store for $1 each. Sincerely, Jan from Ghent.
Excited about the use of bleach, are we, Judith?
I think the only good use of bleach is listening to Nirvana's first album.
Ryan says, panel, to all bag band novices and skeptics, you can buy biodegradable tall kitchen and leaf bags that work adequately for household waste, compost your food waste. If you live in an apartment, you can do this with under-the-sink worm farms.
Yes, you can.
Oh, no!
Yes.
That sounds so fun.
Compost happens.
No way.
You don't, look, the worms are a bridge too far for many, but it is so easy to compost your food waste. And if you're in an apartment, there are new businesses that are picking it up.
And I mean this seriously, but fun for the kids, I would think, to have a worm farm.
Yeah, that's true. It's
and you can give them names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Wormy.
The cats would like that, too.
Wormy.
Well, you got to keep the worms separate from the cats.
Then have a fish.
You got to pick your
then have
favorite.
A fish, a cat, a worm. And
thanks
you got
for that, Ryan.
The whole food chain in your house.
Circle of life. Right in the Armeo household.
Go out with the Lion King.
All right, 3 minutes.
And Jamie says, plastic bags and cat litter. Okay, panel, happy to talk about something that matters. In Ulster County, we have been dealing with bag law for about a year.
Yay.
Dollar General replaced their cheap, thin bags with purchasable heavy mill bags.
That's terrible.
That cannot be damaged no matter what you put in them. Terrible?
Yes. Dollar General and CVS went from thin plastic bags to thicker plastic bags.
The Stewart's bags.
And Jill says, question for Judith regarding plastic bags. For the life of me, I don't know why they are called single-use plastic bags. I use these bags multiple times for a variety of purposes, sometimes for weeks and months. Now there is a new use, bring my plastic bag from home to put my grocery in. However, under the new law, is this allowed?
Yes.
We can. Okay.
You can bring your old plastic bags into the store.
Okay.
Most people don't recycle the plastic bags. It's only a 5.5 recycling rate. Many people do reuse them, but you can bring your own bags back to the store.
I got
to
hurry
That's
here.
Very interesting.
Good morning, dear
Why
panel.
Why would we never do that?
Good morning, dear panel. Okay. On the one hand, you say that we, the people, will decide in November whether we have had enough of Trump. And on the other, in the same discussion, you say that because of Russian interference in the outdated electoral college system, not to mention superdelegates, we probably haven't a chance of ousting Trump. I want to have hope, but honestly, should I? And that's from Tamara in Springfield. And hi, panel, can you ask Judith why these plastic containers are not recyclable? I've stopped buying anything that comes in these containers. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere. Mm-hmm. Vicky in Kingston. And good morning, panel. The green bags I am now using for trash and recycling say they are compatible in industrial facilities. Can I put them in the trash and recycling barrels, or do I have to find special facilities? Thank you from Laura.
Do not put them in your recycling bin. You do have to find a commercial compost operation.
And then finally, the last letter I have here. Thank you, Judith, for acknowledging that some Bernie bros may be indeed people who are not necessarily involved in the movement. I'm a 54-year-old woman and find it a smear tactic that negates the involvement of myself as a woman and his non-white supporters. Attack policies, please. And that's from Sonia, who writes to us a good deal.
We are out of time. My thanks to everybody. Judith Inc., Aaron Pasitti, and Rosemary Armeo. Thank you all very much.